Welcome back. In this lesson, we're getting surgical with something that can make or break a drum and bass tune. Sub-bass weight control. Because indeed NB, the sub is the foundation, right? It's the part that makes a drop feel expensive on a big system. But it's also the easiest way to destroy your headroom, blur your kick, and end up with a mix that only sounds good in your own room. Today we're staying fully inside Ableton Live 12 stock devices and stock packs. No third-party meters, no secret plugins, just solid technique. The goal is simple. Your bass line should feel big and stay, even when notes change. The sub should stay mono, clean, and consistent. The mids can be wild and gritty, but the true sub lane stays disciplined. By the end, you'll have a two-layer DNB bass system, a dedicated sub layer that's pure and controlled, and a mid layer that carries character and movement. Then we'll build a sub-weight control rack, so you can make fast, repeatable decisions, and we'll talk arrangement moves that make drops hit harder without just turning the bass up. Alright, let's set up the session. Set your tempo somewhere in the DNB pocket, 172 to 176 BPM. Pick a key. F or G is super common for a reason. Those fundamentals translate well. F1 is around 43.7 Hz, and G1 is about 49. Those are right in the zone that feels huge in a club. Create 4 tracks, one called SUB and label it SUB Mono so you remember the rule, another called Bass MID, another called Bass Bus, and a kick track, whatever your kick source is, drum rack or auto, doesn't matter. Now route both bass tracks to the bass bus. The bus is where you can glue things later if you want, but the big mindset here is, we control sub weight at the source. And keep that sub track away from messy send reverbs and heavy stereo effects. The sub is not the place to get creative with space. Cool. Now we build the sub. On sub mono, load waveatable. We want something reliable. Sine or triangle style. Minimal variables. Set oscillator 1 to a sine. In waveatable, that's basic shapes and you're aiming for the sine position. Turn oscillator 2 off. Unison stays at one voice. No spread. No drift. No cool movement. This is the boring part that makes the whole track feel pro. Filter off for now. Keep it clean. Now the amp envelope. Attack. Tiny. Like half a millisecond up to maybe 3 milliseconds. Enough to avoid clicks but still punchy. Decay depends on your note lengths. Somewhere around 150 to 300 milliseconds can be useful if you're doing shorter rolling notes. Sustain is either all the way down if you want plucks or at 0 dB if you want held notes. Release. 50 to 120 milliseconds. Again, you're preventing clicks and controlling tail buildup. If you want glide for slurs, set portamento around 40 to 90 milliseconds and put it in legato mode. That gives you those classic DNB slides without turning the whole sub into a messy legato soup. Now MIDI. Here's a practical rolling tip. Use mostly 1/8 notes and sprinkle a few 1/16 pickup notes leading into the next bar. Keep the range tight, like F1 up to C2. The wider you jump, the more your perceived weight changes, and the more your kick-sub relationship shifts. Before we do any processing, a quick coach note. Pick a reference fundamental. In this key range, you'll often live on one note more than the others. Decide which note is your anchor, and make sure it isn't consistently louder or softer than the rest. Here's a fast reality check. Loop a bar of your most used sub notes. Watch live's meters on the sub track, and transpose the entire MIDI clip up or down by a semitone. If one key suddenly eats headroom, that's not you failing. That's your room and your monitoring interacting with that note. So plan your bass line so you're not camping on the problem note for 8 bars straight. Okay, now we lock the sub to mono and remove junk. After waveatable, add EQ8. Put a high pass filter at 20 to 25 Hz. Use 12 or 24 dB per octave. This is not about changing the vibe. This is about removing subsonic rumble that steals headroom and makes limiters work harder, for no musical benefit. If your room has a nasty resonance, you can do a tiny bell dip, often somewhere around 45 to 60 Hz. But keep it subtle, 1 to 2 dB. Don't start carving like you're doing surgery in the dark. Next, add utility. Set width to 0%. Hard mono. This is one of the biggest instant pro moves in bass music. Zero-low sub feels impressive on headphones, and then collapses in mono and turns into inconsistent low end on a real system. Leave gain at 0 for now. We'll come back. Now the weight control secret sauce. Dynamics for consistency. Add glue compressor after utility. The idea here is not to smash the sub. It's to stop certain notes or velocities from jumping out and making the bass feel uneven. Wait is consistency over time. Set attack to 10 milliseconds. Release can be auto or around 0.3 seconds if you like it fixed. Ratio 2 to 1. Then bring the threshold down until you see about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on stronger notes. Makeup off. We'll match level manually. And a huge teacher tip here. Level match every move. Anytime you add compression or saturation, your brain will think louder equals better. So compensate, if you want. Put a utility at the end of the chain later and use it as your loudness compensation knob when you A/B. If glue feels too gentle or your note starts are too spiky, you can swap to the standard compressor. Try attack 2 to 5 milliseconds, release 60 to 120 milliseconds, ratio 2 to 1, aiming for 2 to 4 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Now we add harmonics, but we do it without bloating the sub. Pure sine can disappear on small speakers, so we add controlled distortion, mostly to create upper harmonics above the true sub zone, so the bass line remains audible on phones and laptops without you turning the fundamental into a headroom monster. Add saturator after your compression. Start with soft sine or analog clip. Drive 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on. Then pull the output down so the level stays consistent with bypass. Now add EQ 8 after saturator. This is important. Saturation often inflates the 80 to 150 Hz region. That's the zone that can make your bass feel loud but not heavy. If it starts forming a hill around 90 to 130, use a gentle low shelf cut, like -1 to -3 dB around 80 to 120. Your fundamental, often 40 to 60, should still feel strong, but you don't want that low mid bloat. And while we're here, a quick note about analyzers. Use Spectrum or EQ8's analyzer as a shape tool, not as a truth machine. You're not trying to draw a perfectly flat line. You're looking for a stable fundamental peak, and you're checking that when you turn saturator on, the new energy mostly appears above the true subzone, not as extra mod. Optional sanity test. Drop a tuner on the sub track for a moment. If it can't lock and to the pitch, your sub has too much movement, too much noise, or the envelope is too clicky. That's often a warning sign that the low end will feel inconsistent on big systems. Alright, sub layer is clean, mono, controlled, and translating. Now the MID layer. This is where we get character, movement, grit, and stereo. The rule is, the mid layer must not leak into the true sub range. On bass mid, load wave eatable again, or drift if you want more organic instability. Let's do a classic resish starting point in wave eatable. Osc 1. Saw. Osc 2. Saw. Slightly detuned. Unison 2 to 4 voices. Keep it reasonable. DNB needs precision. Not a 16 voice trans cloud. Turn the filter on. LP 24. Set cutoff somewhere between 200 and 800 Hz as a starting range, because you'll probably automate it. Add a bit of filter drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB. Taste. Add an LFO synced at a quarter note or eighth note, and map it subtly to the filter cutoff. That gives motion, without the bass sounding like a wobbly parody. Now, remove sub from the MID layer. Add EQ 8 and high pass at 90 to 130 Hz, 24 dB per octave. This is one of the biggest reasons people struggle with weight. They have a clean sub, but the mid layer is quietly fighting it in the 60 to 110 zone, making the low end feel soft and unfocused. Now add grit. In Live 12, roar is perfect for mid-bass aggression. Use it moderately, and if you can, focus the drive more on the 300 Hz to 3K area so you get menace without turning the low mids into fog. If you don't want roar, use saturator plus auto filter and shape it after. Stereo goes here, not on the sub. Add utility and push width to maybe 120 to 160% on the mid only. Or use chorus ensemble for width, but keep it subtle. Then check mono. Always check mono. The audience doesn't care how wide it is if it collapses and loses punch. One more advanced layer tip. Phase discipline across layers. Even if your mid is high passed, if it's super dense it can psychoacoustically blur the sub. Try utility on the mid and flip polarity, phase invert left and right, and keep whichever position feels more focused in mono. It's not always better, but it reveals masking fast. Now, the kick and sub relationship. We're going to sidechain, but we're not going to kill the bass. On sub mono, at the end of the chain, add compressor. Enable sidechain input from the kick. Attack very fast, 0.1 to 1 millisecond. Release 60 to 120 milliseconds, and set it so it breathes with the groove. Ratio 4 to 1. Bring the threshold down until you're getting about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. That's usually the sweet spot. Enough pocket for the kick transient, but not so much that the bass feels like it disappears every time the kick lands. And here's a pro workflow. If your kick pattern is busy or your kick sample changes a lot, make a ghost trigger track. Use a short click or tight muted hit, consistent pattern, and sidechain from that. You're controlling movement, not reacting to randomness. Also remember, micro-timing affects heaviness. If the bass feels like it's pushing into the kick, try nudging the sub-MIDI notes 5 to 15 milliseconds later using track delay or note position. Sometimes that fixes the feel more musically than deep sidechain. Now let's make this fast and repeatable with a sub-weight control rack. Group your sub-processing chain into an audio effect rack. Map a few macros. Macro 1. Weight. Map it to a utility gain somewhere near the end of the chain, plus or minus 6 dB. This is your quick decision knob. Macro 2. Tightness. Map it to the EQ8 high pass frequency, maybe 20 up to 35 Hz. Higher means tighter, more headroom, less floor shake. Lower means rounder, heavier, but more risky. Macro 3. Harmonics. Map saturator drive, maybe 2 to 8 dB. Macro 4. Punch. Map the glue threshold or your main compressor threshold, so you can increase or decrease consistency control. Macro 5. Duck amount. Map the sidechain compressor threshold. More duck. More kick pocket. Less duck. More sustained weight. And if you want an extra macro, make it your loudness compensation. A utility at the very end map to a knob so you can slash be fairly. Now arrangement. This is where weight control becomes musical, not just technical. A common rolling DNB structure. Intro, build, drop, variation, second drop. The main point, you can make the drop feel bigger without adding dB by using contrast. Before the drop, automate your weight macro down 2 to 4 dB for the last couple bars. Then snap it back on the first downbeat. Your limiter will thank you, and the crowd will feel the lift. In the first bar of the drop, keep the sub pattern simpler. Cue notes, more space. Let the ear lock onto the foundation, then earn complexity later. Every 8 bars, try a half-bar sub mute, or automate the high pass up dramatically, like sweeping it to 60 or 80 Hz for tension, then slamming it back. That's a classic, and it works because it creates a physical floor drops out moment. For the second drop, don't just turn the sub up. This audio version is shortened for playback.